Johnny Dollar.
Freddie Friedkin, Johnny, over here at Mono Guarantee Insurance.
Freddie, how are you?
Oh, same as always. Listen, now, why don't you do me a favor?
If I can.
Ever hear of an old dame by the name of Mrs. Ambrose Wingford Van Circle?
Ambrose what?
Van Circle.
No, I'm not going to say I haven't.
Yeah, I guess you have a point there. And she's an old first budget. Lives over on South Tyrone, 1227.
South Tyrone? She must be loaded.
Well, depends on how you look at it. But we have written a bit of insurance on her jewelry. And Johnny.
How much?
Just under a cool million. And Johnny.
You're kidding.
Not a bit. But now listen.
My regular commission on $1 million?
Now listen, will
you? Freddie, say no more. I'll take the case.
The CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, the Mono Guarantee Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation in the Too Many Cooks matter. You know, they say that too many cooks spoil the broth. Well, believe me, too many cooks can certainly mess up an insurance investigation. I know. I took the time out of 1460 to fill the gas tank on my car, then I drove to 30 Friedkin's office down in the square. He was waiting for me out front. Okay, Freddy, let's have it.
Well, look, if you hadn't hung up the phone on
it, it must be pretty urgent. You're standing here says I was right. So, what goes with this Van Circle dame and her $1 million worth of jewelry?
I told you, and that's why she's an important client. I understand, incidentally, she keeps it all out there at her home.
She does, hmm?
And that's fine with us. Makes the premiums that much higher.
What's happened to her, Freddy?
Her? Well, not a thing, nothing at all. It's what happens to me.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the day after all her service, including the chauffeur.
No.
I promised to drive her in here to the office this morning to go over some of her policies.
Well, Fred.
Well, now, if I don't, the old fuss part is liable to blow a gasket and cancel everything. And she would.
You mean that's all you called me about?
So the first vice president in charge of me has just arrived in town, and that means I don't dare leave this place.
Well, Freddy, I was signing a commission on
her. So I told her you'd drive her in here.
You what?
And, Johnny, I don't know what this power is that you seem to have over these old goodies, but she knows all about you. Listens to every program every week and thinks you're wonderful.
Freddy, flattery will get you nowhere.
Look, instead of chewing me out, she said, fine. She'd get all set up in her Sunday best and be waiting.
Oh, Freddy, look.
And I'm serious, Johnny. This is really important.
Am I supposed to wear a uniform and chauffeur's cap?
I'm not kidding. It is important, very. Will you do it as a favor to me?
As a favor to you?
Yeah.
No.
Now, John.
But I will for another reason.
Oh?
I would just like to have a look at the female who can throw such a scare into fearless Freddy Friedkin. I drove to the CCD residential section on South Cologne Avenue. Number 1227 was one of those huge, once very fashionable brownstone affairs surrounded with broad lawns, formal gardens, and plenty of shelter elms. The winding driveway led to a porte cochere on one side. I pulled in, gave the horn a couple of polite ones, and waited. Looks like the lady could really beg one service. When I finally saw the light again, the birds out there in the trees were singing madly. But to my aching head, it sounded like they were screaming. I just lay there for a minute or two trying to collect my wits. Whoever gave me that cloud over the head had really done a good job, but it makes me like stay out of circulation long enough for him to. But wait a minute. I had just one glimpse of him in a brief second when I'd opened that door. William Speak. That's what it was. William Speak, clever and second story man with a record as long as your arm. Although Mrs. Van Kirkler alone in this big house. I know. Painful, but get back to my feet. Mrs. Van Kirkler? Mrs. Van Kirkler? Over in a chair in a sort of morning room. He'd been stuck over the head cold and hard. He was breathing, but only faintly. I grabbed the telephone. Murder, come on.
Dr. Winter here?
Oh, doctor, listen.
Yes?
This is Johnny Dollar. I'm over here at Mrs. Van Kirkle's place.
Oh, yes, Johnny.
Listen to me, Doctor, will you? Somebody got in here and hit her over the head and she's in bad shape.
What?
I don't know whether she'll live.
I'll be there right away.
You better. Another call this time to headquarters and Sergeant Harry Benning. He promised to send somebody pronto. Then after throwing an aspirin into Mrs. Van Kirkley, I looked around. Finally, I found it in the library. The old painting pushed aside. In back of it, the wall safe. Broken open and very empty. I saw a single woman that apparently had been dislodged from the sitting. I dropped it in my pocket and made another phone call.
Hello.
Freddie, Johnny.
But where are you, Johnny? What happened? Didn't you go out there and pick her up?
Listen to me, Freddie.
Yeah?
How much did you say you've insured the jewelry for?
Well, close to $1 million. Why?
You better get ready to send her a check.
What?
If she stays alive.
This ever happened to you? You're driving down a long highway or working late, and then monotony makes you feel drowsy. Perhaps with Nodos. Nodos keeps you alert with the same safe refresher found in coffee. With Nodos, it's faster, handier, more reliable. Absolutely not habit forming. The safe way to stay alert without harmful stimulants. Nodos.
On old Van Kirkle. I sent Mullins over there right away.
Well, good. I left as soon as the doctor got there.
Yeah, I talked with the doctor on the phone and sent an ambulance out.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try, but he's not sure if he can pull it through.
Good. Let me hurry.
It reminds me.
Yeah?
An old friend of yours just left town only about an hour ago at our request.
Friend of mine? Who?
An old strong arm by the name of William McSpeak.
Willis? What?
Yeah, we helped him onto a train in New York.
Oh, fine.
Told him we just don't like his looks around here.
Harry, he is the man.
What?
Didn't you know? He's not only a strong arm specialist, but he has enough raps against him for burglary to fill a book.
Well, our records here only show a couple of arrests over the years.
I don't hear what they show, Harry. He's the one I found there at Mrs. Van Tucker's house, the one who belted me over the head.
Oh, and we helped him out of town.
You sure did.
Okay, Johnny, okay. I'll notify the New York Police Department right away to grab him for it.
If they can find him. And you know how long it'll take just to get the wheels turning, get all the red tape out of the way?
Yeah, I know. Oh,
no, brother. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I can find him.
How, Johnny?
A little local knowledge, Harry.
About him?
About him and about some other people down there. I'll see you later. Item 2-1045 came to New York. And I was lucky. A flight took off just a few minutes after I got to Bradley Field. Item 3 in the big city, $4 even for a cab then to 18th Precinct headquarters. Before even talking to my old pal, Lieutenant Randy Stinger, I appropriated a phone in the office next to his and made 5 calls to men who were always ready to dig up a little bit of information from you for a price. Then I walked into Randy's office.
Okay. Well, what's it all about, guys? You can make that old call to him there.
Randy, if I told you, you'd probably round them all up and talk to me again.
Yeah, sure, you can.
Right. And they're a lot more valuable to me on the lease.
Well, I'm sure you wouldn't be a funny head of the so we can, sort of protect them for you, you know? department can always use an extra talk with Cajun, Sonny.
Maybe I've got him out.
What do you think that stop tapping that diamond or whatever it is on top of my desk here? Want to start the call?
This diamond is what I came here about.
Well, Jerry, you're just going to take a bit of gold and Mexican down here in Chester.
Well, it's not.
No, everything. Chester's on our left again. There's a lot of foreign gold circulating around.
Oh?
Places are darn good. It takes an expert to sell the bad terms and clothes and the good ones.
How does it mean?
Well, yes, the load. I mean, it's still room. You're pretty lucky those girls around here, Sonny. I mean, you've got to see that almost all of them.
Almost all of them?
Well, of course, but that little boy here is beating their brains out, too. But what's happening is this.
Yeah?
Every time we knock over a print shop, if we make a shop, we get there too late.
How do you mean?
Well, the place is gone. Been sold to someone else.
Mm.
Not just to another city, Sonny. That's what gets cracked down real easy yet. I think, guys. I hope that to some intermediary, some brain who's dancing with another kid just long enough to get out of Mexico and then pass him on to somebody else.
You know, maybe you better tear down every print shop in town, man.
Oh, sure, sure. You know what it takes? Just one little crack tucked away in somebody's basement.
Mm.
But it was size, it could be thousands of them. But the department's raising came, the feds are complaining we aren't cooperating, I feel lousy. And what's your problem?
What is the truth?
The truth? Well, he hasn't been out for a long time.
Oh, he hasn't, hmm?
And this is really?
Yeah.
Always on the road or something, David. Always on the road.
Now, let me tell you now, Andy.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah? No.
We tried peddling goofballs for a while, Johnny. 2 years up the river. Tried just making another chance. Tried half a dozen rounds. It's always fun on his face. The only thing he could seem to get away with was a burglary and safe shot.
Well, he can't this time, so listen.
Unless, Johnny, I'd like to help you, Woody.
Will you stop tapping that thing?
Nearly $1 million worth of jewelry.
I don't care if it's...
Johnny?
No, up in Hartford, but I need your help.
Well, Johnny, until we get official fixing the boys up there, you know how it works.
I mean, a little deal between you and me has to be official all of a sudden.
Oh, no, of course not. But will you stop scratching that diamond on the glass?
Okay,
huh?
Andy.
Well, wait.
Yeah? This? Who? Yeah.
The you, Johnny.
Oh? Johnny Dollar.
Buddy.
Oh, yes, Buddy.
Yes,
Spotty, who?
This
Nubby
Jimmy headquarters.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's where I am. Go
ahead. You wouldn't pull one on this, Johnny.
Yeah, Spotty, you know any better than that?
Yeah, I guess I do.
You got something for me?
Say, a couple of sheet notes, Johnny?
That's 100, Spotty. I guess you know what I mean, too.
Okay. Just a couple of minutes ago with a briefcase on him.
Yeah.
718 East 49th.
I got it.
He pokes the buzzer for number 2A, and then it goes in.
2A, huh? Okay.
Now, what does that mean?
You know anybody that's on an East 49th Street, Mary?
Did I?
I'll let you know.
Now, wait, Johnny. I thought you wanted some help.
I may not need it now.
Oh, no? Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe...
I didn't put a dollar even into a cab with a Mustang 16-year-old apartment building on East 49th Street. I quickly pushed the button for each apartment. They all must have been out there with tanks going out because nobody kept open the lock on the front door for me. So I flipped the lock, and I quietly went inside and up the stairs to the door of 2A. Don't try it, Willie. Just drop your gun. Kick it over here. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, now sit down over there against the wall. Let me take a look at him. That's what you said to me, man.
Don't back out on me.
But you figure on keeping this mess of yours and whatever it was he gave you for them. What was it, Willie? What did he give you for them? Let me take a look at his briefcase here. Don't move, Willie.
Okay, okay. You got the gun.
Yeah.
about as pretty a set of plots to make me come with your farm as I've ever seen.
There's that Newport team again. Comes through like a taste of a Newport Spirit cigarette. Fresh and cool. Like the voice of a girl you used to know. Listen. There's a difference, all right. Like when you light up your first Newport. Man, he's ready to taste you anything like it. Good, rich, tobacco flavor. The right amount of menthol. Just the hint of cool, refreshing mint. So, what is it that's telling that Marshall says about Newport? Are there any questions, man? Questions? No. I got the message. Newport, more refreshing to Virginia, more refreshing all the way. Newport.
East 49.
Well, listen, I just...
Apartment 2A.
There's a guy living over there we've been looking at for years.
There was, Randy.
Name of Horace Petersley. A packer of hot jewelry, that sort of stuff, you know? Only we never have been able to... Hey, what'd you say? What?
That's right, he's dead.
Okay, I'll be right over.
No, Randy.
Hmm? What do you mean?
Send somebody else.
Well, now listen, Johnny, if you knocked him off, I mean, even...
Somebody else killed him, Randy. The punk I have sitting here at the other end of my gun.
Who?
You stay right there in your office, and I'll be along in a couple of minutes with the Van Circle Jewels and with William's Peak and Thurl.
You're kidding.
Not a bit.
And that's all the more reason I better get over there.
No, Randy, because while you're waiting for us, I want you to get a hold of Fritz Melchior.
That, gemologist?
Yes. Tell him to get there immediately with all of his equipment.
I don't get it, Johnny.
You will, Randy. You will. Four, $100 in a cab. Luckily, by the time I got to headquarters, Melchior, the gemologist, was there and waiting. I handed him the Van Circle jewels and told him to set up his equipment on Randy's desk and get to work.
Now, it's going to take the ultraviolet lamp a moment or two to get warmed up, Mr. Dollar.
Well, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Melchior.
In the meantime, I'll just set up this detail reflection, sir. And the mic.
Just take your time.
But why can't we just book Willie and lock him up, Johnny? Conroy's going to get tired sitting there holding a gun on him.
Well,
and he sees what I think he's going to see. He wishes that he had that gun to shoot himself with. Not to you, by the way.
What do you mean by that?
I remember that. He got a little annoyed earlier when I sat here at the glass top desk sitting around with the stone that Willie left behind at Mrs. Van Tipple's.
But sure, you kept tapping and rubbing it over the glass trying to scratch.
That's just the point, Randy. Rubbing it on the glass, but not scratching.
Oh?
Johnny, you tell me, is there a single scratch, Johnny?
No. No, Johnny, you're right. One of those things.
No, of course, it isn't absolutely conclusive. And there's no bones about it. It didn't sink in at all while I was doing it. But when I heard the now deceased Horace Petersley back there in his apartment, and I heard him telling Willie that the deal was off to give him back the place, it suddenly dawned on me.
Yeah, so maybe we've got more crooks on this deal than we bargained for, huh? Too many crooks.
Mm-hmm. Including a little old lady who figured on collecting $1 million on that stuff that Mr. Melchior is looking at.
Hello,
Dollar.
What do you mean by that?
I heard it, Dad.
Well, Mr. Melchior?
Gentlemen, there is no question about it.
Are you sure, sir?
I am absolutely certain. Now, look here, please. You too, Mr.
Melchior. Yeah?
You see, I need the polished piece of corona. Does the so-called diamond crack it? No. The corona wears away the stone.
I understand.
And here, a test with the refractometer is further proof.
With the what?
The refractometer. It measures the deviation from a straight line suffered by a ray of light in passing obliquely through various media of varying density. Now, look here. Under the ultraviolet light, now, you see?
Yeah, that's not really pretty looking at yet.
Now, that is a genuine value, Lieutenant, that I brought along for comparison. But, now look at this one, under the dark light.
Supposedly precious jewels insured by Mrs. Van Tuckle.
Why, so, Mr. Dollar, they're glass. Safe. Common glass. They're not valuable gems.
But I mean, some kind of a nut.
Although some of them have been very cleverly cut.
No, no, listen,
Adam. Wait a minute. Look, look. It ain't true. It's a lie. It ain't true. I took them out of that safe myself. I had to kill a man to make a deal with him. No, it ain't true.
It's true, all right, William.
And I've been robbed.
I've
been robbed. Get him
out of here,
Colonel. I'll lock him up. Well, Bobby, much as I hate to admit it, you've kind of done yourself a good day's work.
Well, of course, really had to, though.
Oh.
You got hold of those counterfeit tapes for you, Andy, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
And he took care of that Peter's exotica for you, too.
Uh-huh.
So, Andy, why don't you be a nice guy and see that he doesn't get more than a couple of blind friends. As for the phony jewels, well, old Mrs. Van Purple has completely recovered from her beating, by the way. But I still, the real gems, she always carefully kept in her vault in the bank. The posts that she had there in the wall safe were for casual wear. It's next time total, including the payoff to my friend Spotty. Call it 200 and a half. Your friend, Johnny Dollar.
When you get premium gasoline performance at regular gasoline price, find out what the many other car owners have found. In 3 out of 5 cars, regular price Sinclair Dino gasoline matches performance of premium gasoline. Saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino and still get premium performance and mileage. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino gasoline. Johnny Dollar is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Fred Henderson. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Walter Otto. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Court Benson, Jim Stevens, Tom Gorman, Jackson Beck, Sam Gray, Maurice Hoffman, and Bill Smith. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Art Hannah speaking. Here Coleman on sports 10 times each weekend on the CBS Radio Network.
This is KROD AM/FM Dallas.
If everybody's passing you on the highway, chances are you're going too slow. The too slow driver, the lane changer, inattentiveness on the part of experienced drivers whose driving skills have become automatic, are the real menaces on the highway. Sudden stops and slowdowns invite rear-end collisions. Try to maintain an even speed, neither much faster nor much slower than the flow of traffic. Follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Remember, at 60 miles an hour, under good conditions, it still takes 23 car lengths to stop. Friends, this is Kelly Maddox, Executive Secretary of the Citizens Traffic Commission, asking you to take stock of your driving habits. Don't be a slow-poke driver and don't be a speed demon. Drive at a speed that is safe and prudent. Safe and prudent not only for you, but for others that are driving on the same street or highway. Driving too slow can be just as dangerous as driving too fast. Just as dangerous as driving too fast.